This is our last year of the what? I'm sorry. Yeah. My device is on my desk at home, I believe. So, yeah. I apologize. The quality is not the same for whoever's listening online. But this is the last year of the Zman for us. So everyone should have a wonderful summer, and certainly you can contact me at any point over the summer. Email, text, whatever, if you have any questions, or, you know, I need to reload questions over the summer, so, and if I don't respond, just keep texting, just keep doing it over and over again. It's not because I don't like you or I don't want to respond, it's just usually because I'm, like, you know, busy with something, forget about it, so just, you know, if you don't have my cell phone number, anyone want to take out the phone, you have 516-668-1839, you'll spread it around, okay, all right, what? 516-668-1839. I figure out the gematria real fast. Okay, the gematria 516 is about 516. Okay, the email address bknwrabbi@gmail.com. Again, would love to hear from people. BKNW Rabbi, Base Knesset Northwoodmere Rabbi@gmail.com. Okay, two questions that came up over the course of the week. And I'm apologizing in advance. I have a chasna tonight that I have to get to in Brooklyn before the chasna and kala go home. So I'm going to be running right after the shir. I'm not going to be able to stay in shmooze. So that's why I'm wishing everyone a wonderful summer now. And again, stay in touch, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to see more of each other next year. So two questions came up. One, I got like 1,000 times yesterday in different different ways. You ready to guess what it is?
That's a good one.
Ah, so a lot of people, they asked it in two different ways. One way of asking it is, you're obviously allowed to listen to music tonight because I'm going to a Hilula and there's going to be music and dancing, so that issue goes away. Are you also allowed to shave at night? That's one way to ask it. The other way to ask it was, well, I'm not allowed to shave till tomorrow, so why am I allowed to listen to music? What's why there are these hilulas all over the place with big Talmid Chacham? I don't know what was going on here in the five towns. We had Rav Moshe Weinberger had, I don't know how many thousands of people come to this hilula. They have to rent out Lawrence Middle School and do a whole what?
I was there.
Yeah, unbelievable, right? Like I think every high school student in DRS, TABC, MTA, you know, they're why you Stern also? Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So now I know why you were there. Okay. So, they have. Yeah, Rav Eitan Feiner was doing one in the White Shul, and don't tell anybody, but well, we did one, and I let them do one in my shul. But we'll have to talk about why I let them do that. Don't tell my Rebbe. So the question is, what's going on over here? Why is this permitted? Or is it maybe not permitted? And what's the difference between that and shavings? That's question number one. Second question I wasn't even thinking about talking about, but I got an email from my cousin, Yochanan Blumenkopf, who's a graduate of this yeshiva, and he was responding to my son's bar mitzvah. We're making the bar mitzvah soon. And he just said, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, and he sent a link to a YouTube clip of these two girls. You know what I'm talking about already? They were rapping this song about they made up.
Dor Yesharim.
So I thought it was maybe, he said a Dor Yesharim Shaila. I thought, you know, we discussed once the Dor Yesharim Shaila, very interesting Dor Yesharim Shaila. But he was talking about this song. He said, are you allowed to watch this? Is this Kalish? I'm like, I got to watch to see if I'm allowed to watch. We have to see what it is. So I guess that's the other question. Are you allowed to watch that video? Which I haven't put much thought into because I just thought of it tonight as he sent it over. But which of the two questions do we want to start with? Any first one? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what the hetter would be to have this hilula on the night of Lag BaOmer. For any Sephardim out there, happy Lag BaOmer. We've okay. Today's the happy day for you. For you, today's the day Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hu died. No, we'll have to talk about that. What Lag BaOmer really is. So let's put it this way. This the first time yesterday this conversation came up. I was sitting with a number of Rebbeim in DRS, and Rabbi Cooper said that he had a kid in MTA, he told him, that they had signs all over the yeshiva, all over MTA, you know, about Rav Weinberger's Hilula. Now, I don't know how many of you know Rav Moshe Weinberger. He is a genuinely great man. You know, there are good people and there are great people. He's a genuinely great person. So there were Hilula signs all over about going to Rabbi Weinberger's Hilula, and there's a reason why it's such a popular event. And this kid in MTA went over to his Rebbe, and he's like, oh, I'm so excited tonight, it's Hilula. And his Rebbe said, what are you talking about? It's Aser, you're not allowed to do that. And he said, what do you mean, Rav Weinberger? How can you say that it's Aser? So the Rebbe said, go ask Rav Schechter. So the kid went and asked Rav Schechter, and Rav Schechter was even stronger against it. So we started this conversation, the Rebbeim yesterday in DRS, we were talking, what's the Heter? And what emerged from that conversation is probably three things. There are probably three tzadim lahakel on these hilulas. The first tzad lahakel is that if you view Lag BaOmer as a Yom Tov, you view it as a Yom Tov that's worthy of celebration because it is a special day. So the minhagim of Avelus of Svira are just that, they are minhagim. And if we genuinely have the right to be koveya a Yom Tov, then the Yom Tov would be Docha, the Nihugi Avelus. Very similar to how Mori Verabi, Rav Schechter, allows singing and dancing and music on Yom HaTzmut. Because if Yom Rishus to be koveya Yom Tov for something that is L'chora Chalta de Geula, which seems to be the beginning of the Geula, so if we have the Rishus to be koveya Yom Tov, to the extent that it's necessary to suspend Nihugei Avelus in order to celebrate that Yom Tov properly, you're allowed to suspend Nihugei Avelus. But to what extent is it necessary to suspend Nihugei Avelus on, let's take for example Yom HaTzmut, is it necessary to shave in order to feel the Simcha of Yom HaTzmut? No, one can celebrate just fine without shaving, but it's the celebration is best expressed through song and dance and praising the Ribon Shalom. So to the extent that song and dance is a break of the Nihugei Avelus, but if we have the right to be Koveya Yom Tov, now Yom HaTzmut is a whole different shmuz. Why we have the right to be Koveya Yom Tov, why it would suspend the Nihugei Avelus of Seir, to what extent it might suspend the Nihugei Avelus of Seir, but the concept, the notion, I would bet that, well, I guess nowadays it's more common, but like probably a couple of decades ago, you wouldn't find any of the same people who would suspend Nihugei Avelus for one and for the other, for Yom HaTzmut and also for Lag BaOmer. But that would be the idea. The idea is that you would suspend Nihugei Avelus because it's especially up to the second possibility, the second reason to possibly explain this practice of having a hilula with music, with dancing, with the whole thing, is that there are, as we know, many different minhagim of Sfira. There's something like 8 different minhagim of Sfira, of exactly when to observe Sfira. So we're used to the simplest, most straightforward minhag, which is that the Mechaber says it starts at the beginning of Svira, and then on Lamed Dalid Ba'omer, you're allowed to shave and take a haircut, and the Nihugei Avelus are suspended, are stopped, are terminated, whereas the Ramah holds that on Lag Ba'omer, on the 33rd day of the Omer, which turned out to be a very interesting day for the Ramah himself, because that happens to be the date of his Yahrzeit. Right, that's the one Yahrzeit we know for sure is Lag Ba'omer, that there's no historical questions about, is that the Ramah's Yahrzeit is Lag Ba'omer. Whether it's Yoshua's Yahrzeit, whether it's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's Yahrzeit, we could talk about, but certainly it's definitely the Ramah's Yahrzeit on Lag BaOmer, but the Ramah says in Lag BaOmer, Nihugei Avelus are suspended. Those are the common practices of when to observe Avelus during Sfira, but those are not the only practices. In fact, there are many people that have a minhag to observe Avelus from Rosh Chodesh till the end. But again, that's also very common, fairly common practice, and that's what Mishnah Berurah talks about. You want to switch this year to the next year, you're allowed to do that, and that's why you find a lot of people, when I was growing up, no one would ever get married between Pesach and Lag BaOmer. Now you have tons of weddings between Pesach and Rosh Chodesh, because people realize you can get away with that. You can do that and then just observe the later days of Sfira, and everyone's got to come to your wedding. They may come unshaven, because in order to shave, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, in order to shave for a wedding that you're going to when you're observing Sfira, it has to be that it's going to shtar the Simcha if you don't shave, and unless you're a very close relative, it's not going to ruin the Simcha in any way if you don't shave when you go to the wedding. I think I commented in a shir recently that when I read that tshuva at first, I'm like, what kind of a Baal Gaiva would think that he's going to ruin the simcha by not shaving? That he's so important to the simcha that if I don't shave, I'm going to ruin the simcha. Unless you're a very close relative. And I commented that at my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's wedding many years ago, it was my first year teaching in DRS. So I was 22 years old. I started teaching when I was pretty young. Yeah, I didn't know anything. The kids were like the same age as me. So I was teaching at the age of 22. So I wanted to act all grown up. So I grew a beard, even though it wasn't sphere or anything. So I went to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's wedding with a beard, which was my brother-in-law. I mentioned that year that they still haven't forgiven me for ruining all their pictures. So my brother-in-law listens to the shiurim online. He texted me the next day. It's not that we haven't forgiven you. It's that we feel bad for you that you look so ugly. Thank you very much. So sometimes brother-in-laws are like brothers, like having another big brother. So what was I saying? Oh yeah, so there are different minhagim of sfira, and some of the minhagim of sfira are less common minhagim of sfira, such as there are various permutations of this, but observing the whole sfira with the exception of certain days dotted along the line of the sfira, such as like the days that you don't say tachnun, Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, and a few days before Shavuos, how many days different minhagim also, and Lag BaOmer. So there are people that have a minhag to observe all the days of sfira, but to take a break on Lag BaOmer. So if that's your minute of Svira, then there's no problem whatsoever listening to music and playing music and dancing on the night of Lag BaOmer, because Lag BaOmer is a break in the middle of Svira, just like Rosh Chodesh is a break in the middle of Svira for those that have that practice. So the second explanation might be that. It might be that it's a break in the middle of Svira. The third explanation might be that what exactly happens at these Hilulas? Is it necessarily usher what's going on? Is it necessarily something that you're not allowed to do during Sfira? So that might depend on which Hilula you go to. So let's analyze each of these potential, and then just as a fourth sniff lahakel, but not a heter, but a fourth sniff lahakel, the Ramban is of the opinion that Miktsas Hayom Kikula applies even at night. That we even say Miktsas Halayla is Kikol Hayom. We don't pass in that way when it comes to Avelus. Right, we don't pass in like the Ramban. We pass in if someone is sitting Shiva, they get up in the morning, they don't get up the night before, they have to sit a little bit in the morning, and then they get up from Shiva, because it's only Miktsas Hayom Kikulo, not Miktsas Halayla Kikol Hayom. But the Ramban holds Miktsas Halayla Kikol Hayom Pischi Tshuvin Yoredeh, it says, B'Shas Adchak, you could be making like the Ramban. In a Shas Adchak situation, you could be making like the Ramban. On Avelus. A woman's husband is going away for a couple of weeks, and on the day she's getting up from Shiva. So if they don't have Tashmish that night, then they're not going to see each other for weeks and weeks. So Pesachei Tshuva says that's enough of a Shas Adchak to be somich on the Ramban, that Miktsa Laila is Kikol Hayom. Rabbi Shai Shechter mentioned recently that his father, that Moriv Rabbi, got a shaila from an 80-year-old woman once, that her Avelus was going to be over on Erev Pesach. But the last time she was 80 years old, she was an almana, and she was going away for Pesach to a hotel, and she was hoping to find a shidduch. So she wanted to get a manicure before the Avelus should have been over. So is it a Shas Adchak to be able to get a manicure, because she was looking for a nice young man, and she was this 80-year-old woman. And he said that if you really feel that it's gonna ruin your chances for a shidduch and it's a big deal for you, then you can rely on the Shitas Ramban. So maybe as a sniff lahakel we can say, well, that's for Avelus, which is a din. The Nihugi Avelus of Sfira are just that. They're Nihugi Avelus. It's Minhagim. It's all Minhagim. So maybe you could add that as an extra sniff lahakel.
There is a Ramban said to mutter on the day for sure.
The day, yeah.
But he wasn't dead yet.
No, he wasn't viewing it as his own yard side. He was just saying, "We'll get to. Let's discuss right now what exactly is Lag BaOmer."
The next verse was that part of the sweat. I was thinking that there are some spots in like the Jotun Tai time period that maybe.
Yeah.
So is it? Can we just like choose what spots we want to pick?
No. There are minhagim that have specific days that are meaningful.
So
the day of Lag BaOmer is full. The day of Rosh Chodesh is meaningful. The Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah are meaningful, meaning it has to be dafka days that are meaningful.
And that was not even from the night.
Yeah, because that's that whole day. In the Jewish calendar, the day starts from the night,
and,
right?
And the question of the Shuva, would the fact that there's a new God built, like, puts in on the fire Shuva, be different? Like, would the Pitah Shuva allow Latin to Kulo by Nikuha built Sin on that?
I think even Befarasya, if it's a Shasad Chak, means he's Somech on the Ramban, that makes Yom Kikula, makes Halaylus Kalayim. I don't think so. After, I don't remember, but I don't think so. So let's take each of these Kulas one by one and see how reliable they are. So Kula number one is, it's a Yantif, it's a holiday. Isn't that what we all learned, that Lag BaOmer is a holiday? So we have to really analyze, what is Lag BaOmer for real? So where in the Gemara does the Gemara talk about Lag BaOmer? Right, so everyone says, no, where is the Gemara? Is the Gemara talking about Lag BaOmer? So you say Rabbi Akiva. So people normally, when you ask that question, they either say, oh, I know that one, there's a good mnemonic for that, Shabbos Davlag, right? Dav Lamed Gimel, Mesech Shabbos. That's where it talks about. That's not where it talks about Lag BaOmer, that's where it talks about the story of the cave, of Shem Bar Yochai and the cave. It doesn't talk anything about Lag BaOmer over there. And the other place people often say is Gemara Yevamos. The Gemara tells us, Tamid Rabbi Akiva, that they all died until Lag BaOmer, right? But that's not what the Gemara says. What does the Gemara actually say? That he had 24,000 Talmidim, 12,000 pairs of Talmidim that all died from Pesach until Atzeres. So sometime between Pesach and Shavuos, the Pashut reading of the Gemara is throughout the entire time between Pesach and Shavuos, they died. Not a mention of Lag BaOmer. However, the Me'iri, so it doesn't appear in the Gemara, it doesn't appear in the Medrash, doesn't appear in Chazal, right? It doesn't even appear in the Rambam. Lag BaOmer doesn't even appear in the Rambam. The Me'iri the Me'iri quotes a Kabbalah from the Gaonim that they died until Lag BaOmer. The Lag BaOmer is when the dying ended. And for that reason, we don't fast on Lag BaOmer, and we don't get married during Sfira, but we do get married on Lag BaOmer, because it was a joyous day, since that's when the Talmid Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. So that is one traditional understanding of the value and the meaning of Lag BaOmer being the day that they stopped dying. Now that only works according to one of the many practices of Avelus of Sfira. As I mentioned before, there are eight different practices reflecting eight different shitos about when the Talmid Rabbi Akiva actually died. Meaning, let's say the practice that says that they died, that we observe Sfira for every day except for the Rosh Chodesh days and the Shosim Hagbalah and Lag BaOmer. That means that on all those days they stop dying. And there are many of those Minhagim that don't even include Lag BaOmer as an exception. There are other days that are exceptions. Start from the second day of Rosh Chodesh and only go till 6 days before Shavuot. All these different Minhagim, not all of them have Lag BaOmer as a break in the middle. So we have so there are plenty of possibilities that they continue to die on Lag BaOmer, but at least we have from Rishonim, from Gaonim, that at least one tradition is that they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. That's one possibility. The best lecture on the topic of the history side of Lag BaOmer, Dr. Schnur Lyman gave it's probably one of the most popular lectures on YU Torah ever, because Dr. Lyman is fantastic. He's a real historian, so he went through the history of Lag BaOmer. A lot of what I'm saying I got from him, but this is the basics, really. It's Aleph Beis. What's the second value and meaning of Lag BaOmer? That it's the Yortzeit of Shem Bar Yochai, or the Yom Dehilula of Shem Bar Yochai. By the way, where does the Zohar talk about Lag BaOmer? Also doesn't. The Zohar doesn't mention Lag BaOmer either. So the idea of Lag BaOmer, you know, it's clearly a pretty late innovation, which may or may not mean anything. Meaning, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a thing just because it came in late. If one is kabbalistically inclined and one is into Torah HaNistar, that could kufa be its maila, that the Nistar became revealed to us at some later point, and that's the greatness of it all. But the idea that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died on Lag BaOmer is quoted by Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital was, of course, the Talmud of the Ari HaKadosh. The Ari HaKadosh, I just spoke this week about whether you're allowed to learn. I turned 39 last week, so I'm thinking, you know, I'm very close to being allowed to learn Kabbalah. I have no time to learn Kabbalah, but I'm very close. So I just gave a shiur on whether you have to be 40 years old to learn Kabbalah. Like, what if I wanted to, you know, to start now? Is it like Bol HaRusasa B'Beis Chama? Is it like Matzah and Erev Pesach? So So the one of the greater rayas that you don't need to be 40 to learn Kabbalah is that both the Arizal and the Ramchal died before the age of 40. So it's hard to imagine that they waited till 40 to learn Kabbalah. But okay, but be that as it may, the Rav Chaim Vital is the Talmud of the Arizal. And Rav Chaim Vital wrote over the Torah Arizal. We don't really have the Torah directly from the Arizal. Came through Rav Chaim Vital. So Rav Chaim Vital. It's interesting, Rav Chaim Vital writes in one place that if a person finds that he's not being matzliach in Torah HaNigla, it's a simen min ha-shamayim that he should be learning Torah HaNistar. Interesting, no? It's the exact opposite of what we're normally told. And normally we assume that one of the prerequisites of Torah HaNistar, like the Rambam says, you want to be metayel bepardes, you got to be malik kresel bebasar belechem basar, right? You have to have mila and bread, you have to have the Torah HaNigla first. And only then dabble in Torah HaNistar. Chaim Vital says, no, if you're not being matzliach in Torah HaNigla, your brain is probably more attuned, or your neshama is probably more attuned to Torah HaNistar, which I found very fascinating. My taich of it, whether you agree with it or not, but my taich of it is that it's impossible to imagine that a person lives a fully, complete, fulfilled Jewish life without a serious connection to Talmud Torah. That it can't be that a person is 100% properly living Jewishly, with doing all the mitzvahs and chesed and everything else, without a serious connection to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is just too core a principle, too important to value. And maybe what Chaim Vital is saying is that it can't be that you have no connection to Torah. So if the Torah HaNigla doesn't do it for you, then it must be that the Torah HaNistar is going to do it for you, because it has to be that there's some connection to Torah. Okay, but whatever it may be, Rav Chaim Vital quotes that he saw the Arizal, that he went to Meron and Lag BaOmer, and he said because it was the yard site of the Rashbi, and he went with his whole family, and he tells this whole fantastic story where there was someone else that was going with them, and that someone else had a practice of saying Nachin because it was Sviror, because it was the yard site of the Rashbi, and the Arizal gave the guy the eyes, like, what are you doing saying Nachin? How could he do this? And the Arizal said, did you see what I just saw? And, you know, like one of those Avram Avinu moments by the by the mountain, did you see what I just saw? And they said, what did you just see? I saw Rav Shimon Bar Yochai saying that you need to celebrate. It's my Yom HaDehilula. It's not a sad day. And what's this guy saying? Nachim. And he's going to pay the price. And sure enough, his child died, and he had to be misabel on the child because he had what to, now he needed a Nachim. Like this wild, wild story. But the point is that it's the yard site of the Rashbi, and for that, it's a cause of celebration. Now, obviously, each of the approaches is somewhat problematic. The first approach is problematic, that it was the day they stopped dying, because the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, Mipesach ad Atzeres. So yeah, the Meiri says, there's even a Girsa in the Gemara that says, Mipesach ad Pros Atzeres. Pros Atzeres means like a piece of Sfira, like somewhere along the way. So that would lend you, that would lend itself a little bit more, but more fundamentally. If it's, and all the Acharei Masakasha, if it's the day, Rav Avadia Yosef has an interesting tshuva in Chelakei, I think, in Yechad Adas, about haircuts on Lag BaOmer. Chelakei said, Lamed Hey. So in the footnote, he has a discussion where he quotes all the Acharim that talk about this, and he says, they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. Why did they stop dying? Because they were all dead. So why is that a reason to celebrate? That's going to be the celebration because they stopped dying? They only stopped dying because there was nobody left. So obviously they stopped dying. So that's a Tshuvas Shem Aryeh discusses this. And he questions why in the world we should celebrate Lag BaOmer if Kula Mesu. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, the point isn't that they started. Rav Avadia quotes others who say this. It's not just that they stopped dying. It's that because they were all dead, that's what made Rabbi Kiva start again. And when he started again with his five Talmidim, including Rashbi, so that's how we have all of the Torah that we have. So it's really the new beginning that Memela happened on Lag BaOmer because there was no one else for Rabbi Kiva to teach, and Rabbi Kiva wasn't going to stop teaching. That's what really did it. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan says. But it's difficult. And the other tzad, that it was a yard site, is also difficult. What do we do on a yard site traditionally in Judaism? We fast on the yard site. Shulchan Aruch is supposed to pass on the yahrzeit. We're used to the idea of you have a su'udah on the yahrzeit. That's you know, that's the cheap way out. The way it's supposed to, a karov is supposed to fast on the yahrzeit. The relative is supposed to fast. There's a minhag that you have other people eat so that they can make brachos and you can answer amen, be mashlim your mea brachos by answering amen. Different reasons. The zchus of the brachos should be good for the, but the person who's observing the yahrzeit, he's supposed to fast. Zayin Adar, chevra kedishas all over the world, fast on Zayin Adar. It's the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why all of a sudden the yahrzeit of the Rashbi is going to be a cause for a celebration? Aside from the fact that no one before like the 16th or 17th century ever mentioned that it was the Rashbi's yahrzeit. So we were like, you know, thousands of years, over a thousand years late on someone mentioning that Lag BaOmer is actually the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So if you are a historian, you look at this evidence and you say, the whole thing's a hoax. That it's not really Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yahrzeit. The whole, it doesn't even make any sense if it were Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yahrzeit. If you are into Torah Sanistar, and you're more Kabbalistically inclined, you say, Adrabba, that's the greatest raya, that look what the Arizal and Chaim Vital were able to be megala to us. What remained under wraps, what remained hidden for over a thousand years. Rav Chaim Vital and the Arizal were able to be megala that this is a special day, and they brought it down for us, and we were able to. So it's, you know, everyone could agree on the metzius of what, you know, what's written in the books. It's just a question of how to interpret what's written in the books, and that really depends on who you are. One of my talmidim, when he asked me the shaila, didn't just stop and ask how are you allowed to do it. He said, if you're someone who's generally not into Torah Sanistar, and you don't, you know, this just isn't your Masorah, this isn't, can you still go to Rav Weinberger's Hilula? Can you still attend a Hilula? He didn't say Rav Weinberger's, but it was Pasha, that's what he meant, yeah?
They're reacting well, and he's very into that, like, proper gears of, he did a lot of research on it, and he said that the proper gears of Chaim Vital's Kifriyat is not Yom Shemit, Rashbi,
Yom Simchat Rashbi. Okay. So even with the, if it is the yahrzeit, they say, but there's the connection of the Rashbi back in Shemayim, the big party, everyone greeting the Rashbi up in Shemayim, meaning when, in general, whenever someone dies, it's not sad for the person, it's sad for the rest of us who are going to be missing the person. The person, hopefully, if he lived properly, and, you know, with Avodah Hashem, is going to a much happier place. The Chassam Sofer has a famous tshuva about this. Chassam Sofer said, you know, I heard about people going to Tzfat and to Kever Rashbi, and he says, I don't know, you want to go to a holy place? Jerusalem is very holy. That's the holy city. That's where you're supposed to go. And he talks about this whole machlokas he had with Ephraim Zalman Margolios about making a Yom Tov on the yahrzeit. He said, make a Yom Tov on the yahrzeit. You know, the Gemara in the Dharm talks about someone who takes a neder, not to eat basar, ki yom shemes bo'avim. Like a yahrzeit, because that's what you do on a yahrzeit. You fast on a yahrzeit. The fact that the Zohar calls it a hilula, the yahrzeit, even though the Zohar never mentions Lag BaOmer, it means a marriage between the neshama of the Rashbi and the Beis and Shalmaila. But at the end of the day, some say, "Al kopanim lo yadati ma makom li hilula." I don't know why anyone would celebrate. There is so the. Essentially, if you're a historian, you look back at Lag BaOmer and you say, come on, is this really Yom Tov? And if you're a Nigla, Taurus and Nigla person, a purely Taurus and Nigla person, not a Taurus and Nistar person, you look at Lag BaOmer and you say, you know, what is this really? And the Chassam Sofer famously says, L'kvoa moed b'yom shelo nasa bo nes. To be kovei Yom Tov on the day that there was no nes, v'lo huskar b'shasu poskim b'shum makom b'remiza, and it's not even mentioned afilu b'remiza any place in shasu poskim. So he says to not say hesper etaynis, fine, not to hesper etaynis, but even that I don't really know why. But he says okay, so you skip tachnu. Now that's what you do on Lag BaOmer. You could do like quasi-modern, quasi-Haredi person does in Yom HaTzmut. So you skip talking. That's what you do on Lag BaOmer, Chassam Sofer says. I don't see any reason for a celebration. Now, so, hetzer number one is that it's a Yom Tov, so that's why they're allowed to have the celebration. That would make sense for people who are engaged in Torah Sanistar or who at least connect to it in some way. and believe that it's actually Yom Tov. Chassam Sofer, many others, are not so convinced that there is any Yom Tov here, or that we're even allowed to be Koveya Yom Tov. Meaning even the Arizal should not have been allowed to be Koveya Yom Tov, or Rav Chaim Vital should not have been permitted to be Koveya Yom Tov. But the Megillus Times, we're not Koveya New Yom Tovim. Yom Atzmut may be different because it's Aschalta de Gula. Any Yom Tov that relates to Gula maybe is different. So Hatha number one is subject to that dispute. Yeah. Well, Hatha number one would work for a Sardi if you, right? Meaning, yeah. If you believe that it's a Yom Tov, so that Hatha number two would probably not work, right? It's only for those who actually observe Minhage Sfira like that. So that's very few people. How many people observe Minhage, the Minhag of Sfira, where they just take breaks along the way with Rosh Chodesh and with Lag Bomer? So Hatha number two, Rabbi Klapholz thought that used to be the Minhag amongst many Hasidim, and that's why they have it. Because that was the way they observed, many Hasidic communities observed Minhagei Sfira. I don't know if that Metzius is true, that was the practice amongst many Hasidim, but that would really close the door on the Hilula. Hetta number three is, to me, the most interesting one. It's the one I utilize for my shul, and that is that what are you doing that's Aser already? So what are you doing that's Aser at a Hilula? So it really depends. So what are you not allowed to do during Sfira? You're not allowed to get married, and you're not allowed to get a haircut. So no one's getting married and getting a haircut at the Hilula, right? Or Weinberger's Hilula. Potentially looking to get married, but no one's getting married or getting a haircut at the Hilula. So what exactly are we doing that's problematic? So what are we doing that's problematic? Music and potentially dancing. So
definitely.
And Rav Weinberger is definitely dancing. And I'm told that Rabbi Feiner is, it's not. It's music. So what if you have, certainly the one that we did in my shul, I said, bring a guitar, Shirei Regesh, you know, like inspiring songs and Divrei Torah. We invited Rabbi Cohen to say Divrei Torah because I can't. So we had Divrei Torah, and it was very beautiful. Why would that be better? Why would that be mutter? Because it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, obviously, that one is not allowed to listen to music during Sfira. The reason it doesn't say it anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, of course, is because the Mechaber in Tavkov Samach paskins that one is never allowed to listen to music based on the Sugya in Sota Memches and Gittin Dav Zayin, that music in general throughout, after the Churban is Aser. The Mechaber paskins that we never listen to music, but the Ramah already quotes that music is only usher for those who are like Benim. He quotes with Balei Tosos that for those who are like Malachim, that they wake up with it and they go to sleep with it and they're constantly with, accompanied by music. They have like a band accompanying them as they walk through the streets, which we all do now. Right? We all have musical devices that play music for us. But the Ramah says only that would be usher. So nowadays our minhag is that we do listen to music year round. So there are a couple of ways to approach this. We listen to music year-round. We're makel against what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And all the poskim say there's reason that we're makel. Rav Breishan, Chalkas Yaakov, Chel Gal, Simson, Chbez, Rav Vazner, Rav Menashe Klein, and all the others, they all point out that nowadays, with the exception of Rav Meisha, that nowadays there's a lot of reason. We live in very sad times, and it's depression is very common, and music is very helpful. And also songs that bring people closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam maybe aren't included in the Isser, Rav Vazner suggests, which, by the way, those are two very different reasons. If you say it's a heter because we live in very sad times, so then you're saying that really it includes all music. So during those times where it makes the most sense to observe the din, you shouldn't listen to any kind of music. But if you say that the whole din never included Shirei Regesh, they never include these kinds of uplifting emotional songs, then even if you're going to pick times of the year, like the 3 weeks, or Sfiras HaOmer, where you're going to say, you know what, these are the times that we should at least observe that halacha, yeah, but the halacha doesn't include these kinds of songs. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, like we said, they're not allowed to listen to music. What does it say? So Magen Avraham, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham says that you're not allowed to dance during Sfira. So many of the poskim, Rav Moshe and Rav Vadia and others, assume that, okay, if you're not allowed to dance, then you're certainly not allowed to listen to music during Sefirah. Rav Moshe points out that there's not so much basis to allow listening to music year-round, but minimally, at least you should observe that halacha during the period of Sefirah, during a time of Avelus. So according to Rav Moshe, the issue to listen to music is exactly the same as the general issue to listen, and vocals, even when recorded, would be mutter, but any instrumental music would be asir. However, I saw in Rav Schlesinger's Sefer, Elohim O'Adai, he quotes from Rav Scheinberg, where he says that Shirei Regesh are not included. That if it, what does Magen Avraham say? You're not allowed to dance. So the kinds of music that you would dance to, upbeat music that people would dance to, that's what's asir to do. But if it's the kind of music that you wouldn't dance to, that's not asir to do, that's mutter to listen to. Mori V'Rabbi Rav Mordechai Willig said something very similar. He thought that the issur to listen to music is only if you're going to be dancing with the music. If it's not shaykh that you're going to be dancing. And the way I remember saying it is even if it's live music, Rabbi Kamenetsky thought he remembered differently. He thought that he was mechalik between live and recorded music, but I don't remember him saying it that way. I thought Rav Mordechai Willig said that even live music, if it's going to be the kind of, you're not allowed to dance, but music doesn't necessarily fill you with the same sense of excitement and joy that dancing does, and therefore even live music would be permissible. So I thought that to be somech on Rav Scheinberg and Rav Willig and have Shirei Regesh where you're not going to be dancing and have inspirational music in Divrei Torah, so I thought that made some sense, and especially if it could be an uplifting evening, it could be an inspirational thing for people, why take that away? Now, it should be noted that there are other reasons that a lot of the poskim had issue with these massive celebrations on the night of Lag BaOmer. First of all, I was watching, they set up a video in DRS in the lobby of what was going on in Meron. I assume it's the same religion that I practice, but like I certainly can't tell from the video that it's the same religion that I practice. I have no idea what that, I guess it's meaningful, I don't know. But there's a lot of discussion about a lot of things. Rav Vadia talks about, the pritzos that goes on, and, in his tshuva, it becomes a social scene, it becomes like tashlich, you shouldn't turn something like that into a social scene, maybe. And the Rav Rabinovich, the Rav of the Old City, has the Rav of Mekomos HaKadoshim, the Rav of... Rav Nemesal is the Rav of the Old City, but the Rav of Mekomos HaKadoshim, Rav Rabinovich, So he has a safe. He has two volumes of Shailos and Tshuvas. I think it's called Shari Tzion, something like that, and not Shari Tzion, right? Shari Tzion, like the Mishnah Brura, Shari Tzion. My Talmidim always get it wrong. They always say, "Oh, the Shari Tzion." No, the Mishnah Brura is not. It's not his little Zionistic notes at the bottom of the Mishnah Brura, but in the Sefer Shari Tzion, it's actually about Tzion. So in his Tshuvas, he has a whole Tshuva about when Lag BaOmer falls on Sunday, all the Chil Shabbos that has to happen in order to accommodate the hundreds of thousands of people that can converge upon Meron, because you can't do that without police presence and without barricades and without things of that nature. And when do you think the police is going to do all their preparation? It's all going to be done on Shabbos, let alone the people that are going to be traveling on Shabbos, and all the genevas that happen, and all the, they say that you have to hide your tefillin really, really well, because otherwise they'll get stolen when you, it's pretty terrible. But, so there are all these other, Rav Vadia talks about Baltashchis, that you're gonna, people, they need to keep the fire going, so they throw anything and everything into the fire, that it may be a violation of Baltashchis. The one thing that some people talk about, Bittul Torah. Now, the truth is, we say, what do you think Rashbi would prefer? You think Rashbi Bar Yochai would prefer you learn Night Seder, or that you slept to Meron, and you, that's really a little unfair, because I think, Kulei Amelo Pligi, that Talmud Torah is the greatest thing, right? I think Kulei Amelo Pligi, that Talmud Torah is the greatest way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But also Kulei Amelo Pligi, that very, very few of us can do it for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that we need to punctuate our lives with certain moments of inspiration. And different people gain inspiration in different ways. So, to say, oh, why, Night Seder versus Meron, it's not really Night Seder versus Meron. Is it am I going to go to Meron to gain my inspiration to give me that chizik, or am I going to do something else? You know, go to visit Rav Chaim Kanievsky and hear him say buha, or I don't know, you know, do different things that will inspire me. You know, do an act of chesed, go on a Tomche Shabbos run and be inspired by that. Well, you know, just people are going to do things other than learn that will inspire them. The question is if this is a worthwhile thing to do. Rabbi Waxman from Shalavim said he asked Rav Asher Weiss whether the Bachrim should Sharon. And Rav Asher Weiss, with his typical wisdom, said, "Mistama, for some of the boys it's worthwhile, and for other boys it's not worthwhile. Every person has to figure out what works for them." So at the end of the day, there are these three Atarim for Hasidim. They have a Masorah that they have this tremendous emphasis on Torah Sanistar. And if that's the case, they treat it like a Yom Tov, which halachically is very questionable, but Al Pi Torah Sanistar is not questionable at all, apparently. Then there are those who observe in Hagi Sfira differently. And then there's the possibility of doing what someone told me, I don't know, someone should ask him about this, that they were at Rav Weinberger's Hillel last night, and he stayed for the Kumsitz, and he obviously shared the Divrei Torah, and then when the dancing started, he left.
He danced with people from the shul, and then like, you know, was like, and then he started like dancing by himself, and it was like in a big circle, and then he left.
Yeah, okay, so it wasn't there. Yeah.
Last year, he was like in the middle of the circle.
Okay, all right. So, okay, not to be medayic anything. All right. So anyway, so these are the different traditions, but I think that pretty much summarizes the issue. I have to run to a class now, so again, I apologize for running.